Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Friday. Moving fast and furious on today's show. The Stanley Cup Final came to an end. I was really hoping there'd be a Game 7, but there was not. We bring in our next guest, Greg Wyshynski, who is on the line with us. And, of course, he joins us usually on Thursdays. And we moved him to today, so we appreciate that. Greg, how you doing?
You know, some of us who had a flight to Raleigh and then a flight to Calgary and then a flight to Edmonton the day after Game 6, we're okay with it ending in 6. We're okay with the series ending where exactly where it ended and going to the beach the next morning was okay. I promise you that is the last travel lament you will hear from me for at least another year.
Hey, it's certainly okay. Greg Wyshynski, brought to you by Old National Bank. Get old. You know, I know this may sound like a silly question, but when you look at the year overall, I mean, this was not the same Florida Panthers team, at least early on, that we saw win the Stanley Cup last year. They had to get better as the season went on. They took advantage of some of the LTIR rules and made trades and added, you know, Marchand and Seth Jones. Did the best team win the Stanley Cup, or did the best team right now win the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, I would say the best playoff team won the Stanley Cup, because you're absolutely right. I mean, they're kind of the Sam Bennett, who won the Conn Smythe, is kind of the personification of this team. You know, he's a guy who has never scored 30 goals in the regular season, but you watch him in the playoffs and you're like, this guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame, right? It's like the night and day of it all. And that's kind of the Panthers, you know, like they don't blow you away in the regular season sometimes. They, especially not this season when they were nursing injuries and Ekblad had the PED suspension and they're kind of just trying to figure out where the pieces fit before they mount another, you know, run at the cup. And you mentioned Marchand and you know, Seth Jones was the other really big acquisition. And I think the trick for the Panthers is not only knowing that everybody on the roster kind of knows what their role is, but it's bringing in people into that culture and having them understand the roles. Like Marchand's a superstar, but he was a third liner on this team. Like Seth Jones is a top pairing defenseman anywhere in this league, but he played on the second pairing in Florida and he was fine with it. And actually I think he thrived in that role. So they're a magnificently put together team that obviously knows the trick in this league is just play your best hockey when it matters most and have guys that rise to the occasion.
On the other side of things, Greg, Edmonton, 2 years in a row, they lose to the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup Final. You once again have McDavid and Draisaitl, two of the best players in the league, that you know aren't winning the Stanley Cup. What's next for Edmonton?
Next for Edmonton is coming to grips with what was said yesterday. The four words heard round the world from Connor McDavid after he extolled the virtues of the boys that he's played with and going for the cup and you know how exciting it's been to try to do that in Edmonton. And then he said, with that being said, and then talked a little bit about how he's got to do right by himself and his family and have, you know, make a decision that's going to be best for him to try to win the cup. And again, this is the first major moment in a negotiation that is ongoing. He can sign a contract after July 1st. He's a free agent, not this summer, but next summer. This is the first moment where I think you started to see the flop sweat on the foreheads of Oilers fans thinking, oh my God, could it be possible? Could it be possible decades after Wayne Gretzky went to the Los Angeles Kings that the other generational talent that they've had come through, Connor McDavid, could maybe one day not be an Edmonton Oiler? I'll say this. It made clear to me behind the scenes that just because Leon Draisaitl signed that massive contract did not mean that was the guarantee McDavid was going to stay. I think he's curious about other opportunities. You know, this is an Oilers team now that has had two kicks at the can and both times clearly did not put a championship quality team around their star players. I mean, the fact that they didn't know who was going to start in goal in game 6 was a joke, right? Like, what are we doing here? So again, like this is the first moment in which the rest of the league probably arched an eyebrow and started wondering if there was an opportunity for McDavid to ever leave Edmonton. I still think the odds are long that'll happen, but if it ever happened, my God, it would be our version of the LeBron decision. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, for sure. Greg Wyshynski is with us. Our midday host, Willie Donick, of course, is the TV play-by-play for the Predators. made a comment the other day, and he's since kind of said, maybe I got a little carried away with it, but he said if UC Saros was on the Edmonton Oilers, you know, they would have at least one Stanley Cup. He said three initially, but he's revised it to say at least one. Do you buy that? Because goaltending clearly was a big issue.
Dude, if Thomas Vokoun today were on the Edmonton Oilers, they probably would have had a cup by now. Like, anything is better than what they were throwing out there for the last 2 years. No, it's absolutely right. I mean, their goaltending has been less than replacement level. The times in which Stuart Skinner has played well have been few and far between. And I think the times in which they've played well with him in net, it's because they're playing well in front of him. You know, gets pulled in two Stanley Cup final games in Florida, and then, you know, does not play all that well in the elimination game. If they had replacement level goaltending on that team, they probably would have won the cup at least one of these years, but it just didn't come to fruition. But their problems go beyond that. I mean, you look at their back end, it's not very good. The loss of Zach Hyman to injury, which was a huge, huge loss for that team, really did expose the lack of depth beyond the top two lines. And, you know, there's other problems beyond the goaltending. But again, like, you come back to this idea that it's game six of the Stanley Cup final, and you're just kind of like, should I throw out the 33-year-old journeyman who's on his sixth team in 10 NHL seasons, or the guy that got pulled twice in the series already in this arena? And it's just like you marvel at that being the situation that Connor McDavid finds himself in.
That's okay, Greg. My back end is not good either, so, but we're working on it to get there. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN.com. Greg, closer to Nashville here, Roman Josi comes out announcing the day that he's got POTS. I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but the symptoms include a fast heart rate, dizziness, and fatigue. He's set to play for Switzerland's Olympic team. Would that be a good thing? I mean, I don't know this disease. It sounds like they could have it under care and everything like that, but is this something maybe he shouldn't do, should do? I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's a question for a lot of players when it comes to their health and tournaments that exist outside of the NHL. I mean, Austin Matthews is a good example where the Maple Leafs were really hoping that he wouldn't play in the Four Nations tournament because of the injuries that he was dealing with this year, but it obviously meant so much to him, and he was the captain of the U.S. team, so he went ahead and played. Everything I've heard indicates that Josi is going to be ready for the start of the season. So by virtue of that, you assume that it'll be something he can have under control. He'll have played a few months in the NHL, and then he goes off and plays for Switzerland. But again, you make an excellent point, and it's the real tough thing about the Olympics being right smack dab in the middle of the regular season, which is that these teams and these players all have to make difficult decisions sometimes with regard to their health and with regard to what's important. But, you know, I once had a conversation with a player who was a non-North American about whether it was more important for him to win a gold medal in the Olympics or the Stanley Cup. And I couldn't even get the word cup out of my mouth before he said gold medal. I mean, it is that important to these guys that grew up watching Olympic hockey to represent their country, to have a chance to do, you know, to win a medal. And so I think if he could do it, he'll definitely do it. And I think that it sounds like he'll be okay for the start of the season.
Matt Duchene, nice little contract, 4-year extension, $18 million. Too bad that couldn't have been in Nashville and they didn't work it out. So, I mean, good for Matt Duchene.
Yeah, I mean, point per game player last year at his age in Dallas. It's kind of amazing, boys, when you start to think about the way that the free agent market is shaping up. Like, the center position is pretty thin, and already we have seen three guys come off the board. Duchene re-signs multiple years in Dallas to stay in a situation he really likes. Sam Bennett, a drunken Sam Bennett, at a Stanley Cup celebration last night, proclaimed to the crowd, doing his best Wolf of Wall Street impression, that he is not going anywhere and is going to remain a Panther for 8 years. That's which is great. If you can find the video, it's pretty awesome. And then today, the big news today, Jonathan Toews, who is you know, making a big comeback, is going to sign a 1-year deal with the Winnipeg Jets. So three veteran centers are already off the market, and so that was interesting to see on the Duchene front, because I think he certainly could have found maybe a raise somewhere, given that there's not a lot of other options. But again, you find yourself a good situation with a successful team in a cough income tax free state. And you tend to want to stay there for as long as you can.
We've done this what if about centers in the 2017 Stanley Cup final between the Predators and the Penguins. Had Ryan Johansson been the Ryan Johansson he was before he got injured in 2017, does Nashville win that cup?
Yes, they do. That line rocked, and they were, and he was so good in the Western Conference Final, and you know this dude, this is like the question about whether the Montreal Expos would have won the World Series if it wasn't for the '94 strike. Like, they totally would have, and this is my conspiracy theory for hockey. Like, I really do believe the Predators would have won the Cup that year had that injury not occurred, because that line was exactly the kind of thing that they needed against that Penguins team. I don't think they really had a Northern Star offensively against that team. And it was just a bummer when it happened, because they seemed extremely primed. And that was such a deep and talented team. The goaltending was great. It was a fun final, but ultimately, you know, I don't think that the Penguins saw the real Predators because of that injury.
Greg Wyshynski is with us. So, I mean, look, I think Barry Trotz is done for the offseason acquiring Eric Halla. I mean, man, what a splash.
You know, like, I'm happy for Halla because I think he needs a change of scenery. I didn't think he was all that good for the Devils last year, but you know what you're getting with him. You're gonna get a dynamic penalty killer. You're gonna get a guy that's gonna be able to chip in offensively. He can bring a little sandpaper to the proceedings. Good depth player. I mean, you know, obviously there's other work to be done for the Predators, but for this kind of deal, I think it's fine. I think the one thing you can say about him, you know, whether he's effective offensively or not, is that he adds to your compete level. And certainly the Predators, for lack of a better term, could use some more dog in them. And I think that he can help to that end.
I totally agree with that. And I like Halla the player. He was good the year that he was here, but that was a while ago. And I think a lot of Preds fans are just a little confused on, they know there's a plan. Barry Trotz has said there's a plan that he's following, but it's okay. Are you getting younger or are you still trying to be in the now? And it kind of feels like he's trying to do both, and maybe he'll be able to pull that off with all the draft assets that they have. 9 picks, I think, in this draft, including 3 first rounders. But it they're still an older team. That's my thing.
And they're gonna get a terrific player at 5. Like the top 5 or 6 or 7 guys in this draft are all real good, and they'll end up getting probably a really good forward at that spot, depending on how some of the picks in front of them go. But no, you're right. I mean, it is hard for the consumer base to really wrap their heads around what they're doing right now, because, you know, they went so hard with the veterans last year and it didn't manifest into anything. And it was always, I think, in service of waiting for the kids to mature and transition to whatever the next phase of the Predators were going to be. But, you know, last year not being successful kind of just makes you wonder, all right, so do you double down on veterans for a little bit? Do you just completely tear it down? Who knows? The one thing I'm really curious about is Marchessault. Like, it didn't really fit. I mean, he's got, obviously, I think, some control in where he could go, but you look at what the Panthers just did, and they have a team built of guys like Marchessault, like guys that are pretty good in the regular season, but then they get into the playoffs and all of a sudden it's like every single game this guy does something to make it work for you. And I think that's such a valuable asset. And I think the teams that are on the precipice of maybe winning would love to have that guy aboard. And so that's the chip I'd love to see them play in the offseason. I really think he's got value, and I really think that the return could help them. It's just a matter of finding the right deal and the right fit for him.
You probably know this answer better than I do. What was his relationship like with Pete DeBoer in Vegas?
Well, that's a loaded question because, you know, everybody's relationship with Pete DeBoer is good at some point and then horrible at the end. So, you know, like I don't know exactly how things left with him and Pete, but I know for a fact that, like, you know, there was always some tension between Pete and players in every stop that he's had. But, you know, the thing about Marchessault that I love is that he's not exactly the parallel to Marchand perfectly, but the way he talks, you know, he's somebody who's extremely unfiltered when it comes to things like officiating and opponents and things like that. He's got a bit of a mouth that if you're a team that needs someone like that in the room, he's great at it, much like Florida needed Marchand. And then obviously, like, his skill set for the playoffs is great, and he's got proof of concept for how good he could be in the playoffs. So I think he's a player with value. Maybe not in an off-season trade. Maybe as we get closer to the deadline next year, that's the move. But I definitely think that he's, if you're looking to transition to the younger team, I mean, that's a guy who could bring back some pretty decent assets, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Greg, appreciate it, as always. I know we're kind of approaching the the off season. We've got the draft next week and free agency. But appreciate it, and we'll see kind of what happens from here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Greg Wyshynski joining us here on the program, brought to you by Old National Bank. Get old. We'll react to some of those things and what it kind of means moving forward for the Preds. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.